Easter Bunny, or St. Nicholas, or even more ridiculous, a tooth fairy. From there we're forced to recite the pledge, Hail Mary. One nation under God, why us? Don't question, son, you're burning hell. Pay attention to the lies that we're told to tell. Teacher teaches us Columbus was a hero. He stole lands, he stole lives of so-called Indians, from the Tainos to the Africans. Respect Thomas Jefferson? He molested Sally Hemings, and now they say Reagan was a great man. The godfather of crack babies? Denying of the ace plate? I ran fast as I could to the library to find out they traced the books I read. These lies got me surrounded. There's a war on truth. Ain't it on me? It started with that first lie too. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies we hear every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? They say milk does the body good, how so? It causes disease. Don't trust me? Read about BGH and RGF-1. The dairy industry has a stricken poison. Got milk? Better yet, how about? Got cancer? Got a sick prostate? And you're looking for answers? And why we trust the FDA to protect us? These mad cows are milking us all the way to the bank. From cell phones to pharmaceuticals, children force vaccinations that carry plague and chemicals. Corporate thugs push drugs like evangelists push miracles. Monsanto, Bayer, Procter & Gamble. Fluoride in our water supply has got its own cockeyed. But still they lie, telling us it's for our own good. First Jews in Nazi prison camps, now it's in our hoods. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies we hear every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? From Fox News to the New York Post, and all these lying neocon right-wing news show hosts, Bill O'Reilly makes me nauseous. Handling comb the drones for these greedy corporate monsters, fitting lies to the public, they love it with puppets, intimidated and controlled by color codes where lie becomes truth and truth becomes myth. Lost in the Rupert Murdoch and Clear Channel Abyss. If you don't agree with Bush, then you're unpatriotic. Even if you've never known a man this psychotic, in control of the so-called free and the brave, you become timid and afraid, eager to become slaves. The Patriot Act is good for the people. It's like saying the Bush regime will protect us from evil. How many lies can they tell in just 4 years? I say the worst is yet to come, so it's time to prepare. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies we hear every day.
Good afternoon, America. You are listening to Two If By C. I am your host, Janet Phelan, and Dr. Rebecca Carley will be with us shortly. Today we are running a very, very shocking story in terms of what happened to Susan Lindauer, former reporter and former congressional aide, who was held for a period of some 11 months as a political prisoner by the Bush administration, in mostly held in Texas. And we will have Susan Lindauer on the air today to tell her story, and also Michael Collins is with us. Michael Collins is a reporter who has been following the Susan Lindauer story, and he's going to come on the air first to give us a rundown of what in the world the Bush administration thinks it's doing by holding American citizens without trial as political prisoners. Michael, are you with us?
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit Lee'sFountainOfYouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
We are back. This is Janet Phelan, your host for Two If By C, and Dr. Rebecca Carley has joined us. Rebecca, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, and we're going to bring on Michael Collins, who is a reporter who has been covering the Susan Lindauer story, among many other stories of interest to us in America. Michael, could you give us a little background as to what is going on in the Susan Lindauer situation and how this relates to what the Bush administration is up to these days?
Well, I hope the Bush administration is not up to very much, because whenever they are, we all get in trouble, no matter who we are in this country. The Susan Lindauer case came about right before, it came about, when Susan was indicted and arrested for supposedly doing two things. The main charge, and I'm not even going to talk about the other ones. The main charge, according to her judge, Judge Mukasey, was trying to influence a U.S. official in behalf of, as an unregistered agent for a foreign power, that power being Iraq. And this was, claimed influence took place before the invasion of Iraq. She was not arrested at that time or indicted at that time. I guess a year later, a month later, they had a congressional review commission, a panel, with Trent Lott and John McCain, Senators Trent Lott and John McCain in charge, and Susan reports that she tried to give those folks information that she had gained working as an asset for U.S. intelligence about pre-war intelligence in Iraq. And a couple days after that, she was arrested and charged with trying to provide this influence. The influence that she supposedly was peddling was a series of letters. It was actually the very last letter she provided, but it was a series of letters that she, over time, to her second cousin, Andrew Card, who was the White House chief of staff. And the last letter, or maybe the last two letters, but certainly the letter that she was charged that was named in her indictment, was not only delivered to Card, it was also delivered to Colin Powell. So supposedly, you know, she, according to the government, was working to try and influence our policy. The question is, what was in the letter? Unfortunately, that's available. And we know what was in the letter, which was not anything negative at all. So that's how it started out.
So I'm going to read just a couple paragraphs of an article that you wrote on Susan Lindauer that'll give the listening audience a little better picture about this. On March 11th, 2004, Susan Lindauer was shocked to find FBI agents pounding on the door of her Tacoma Park house in Maryland with a warrant for her arrest. She was more shocked to discover that she was accused of acting as an unregistered agent of the Iraqi government under Saddam Hussein. And skips down, Lindauer has never been tried in a court of law, nor allowed any pretrial hearing to call witnesses to validate claims that she worked as an asset supervised by U.S. intelligence for 9 years. Instead, she was forced to submit to a psychological evaluation inside a prison on a Texas military base, where she was held for 7 months before getting transferred to New York. In all, she was detained for 11 months without a conviction or a guilty plea. So, what was this all about? Susan Lindauer was apparently working for an intelligence agency. I understand she was working in the Iraqi embassy before the war. Is that correct?
No. She was, Susan, the term that Susan uses to describe what she was doing is a U.S. intelligence asset, okay? And that meant that she would work on behalf of the U.S. government, and the areas of contact were governments in the Middle East that would not traditionally be receptive to the United States, so they would use alternative means of contact, and she had a lot of contact with folks, as she describes it, over a period of, an extensive period of time, in New York, diplomats, and part of that would be the Iraqi embassy, but she didn't work in the Iraqi embassy. You know, she would visit people there and meet with them and, you know, develop, you know, provide, you know, information to them and seek information from them, you know, in behalf of this government and peace. You know, she was someone who supported sanctions and activists, and she was on congressional staff while she was doing this, or at least part of the time she was doing this. So the thing that got me interested in this is that...
Could you speak up a little bit? I'm having a little trouble hearing you, and I don't know if our listening audience is, but please speak up.
That got me interested was that she was arrested and then, you know, just a few months later, confined to a federal penitentiary, you know, because supposedly her claims of innocence and the fact that she told them that she was a U.S. asset, somehow, according to court mental health experts, somehow proved that she was delusional. So she stood before the judge and said, "I am not guilty of this, and here's why," and then they forced her to take a series of psychiatric evaluations by court-appointed psychiatrists who then locked her away for 7 months at Carswell, you know, a federal prison on a U.S. Air Force base. And that, I think, shocked a lot of people. But before they did that, they smeared her in the indictment, and instead of the news covering the story saying, look, Susan provided this letter that warned us invading Iraq would mean we'd fail, the people would hate us, and Bin Laden would gain power again. You know, that was part of the key points in her letter, right, to Andy Card, all of which turned out to be true, they made it appear that she was, quote, a spy, which was never charged in the indictment. And the indictment was misleading because it included two Iraqi nationals who were in the United States who she never met. She didn't know. She never had anything to do with. So, you know, it was really a smear job. It was just get her out of contact and let's smear her good name.
So let me get straight about something. First, they're charging her with a spy as being a spy for a foreign power, and then
they made it look like she was.
Okay.
And so when the press covered it, you can see in all these different articles, you know, former congressional aide is accused of spying for Iraq. But in the actual indictment, it was acting as an unregistered foreign agent, which is not espionage. It's like being a lobbyist without registering. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the first crazy part. And the reason people thought that is she was indicted for acting as an unregistered agent. Two Iraqi nationals were accused of doing something very similar, but they were actually accused of tracking opponents to Saddam Hussein in the United States. Now, that sounds pretty serious, okay? So when you throw those two guys in the very same indictment that Susan was in, the same charging document, and you read it, unless you read it carefully, you're reading it going, oh, she was involved with these guys, right? That's how the whole business about the spy thing came out. And there are articles out there right now in National Review and Time Magazine and different major publications that use the term spy, which is entirely incorrect.
The first article that I saw on Susan Lindauer, I believe it was published in a Seattle paper, and the headline was Susan Lindauer from Spy to Psychotic.
Right.
That was used.
What a great spectrum. Yeah.
Well, so what I found really fascinating about the situation initially was that, you know, first she was being, charged with these acts apparently in support of a foreign power, and then she was termed too incompetent to stand trial. The psychiatrization of an individual. A mental illness is the only thing, number one, you can be treated for against your will, and it can also keep you out of court so that the charges against you may never actually be heard by a court of law if you are judged incompetent, and it looks like this is what happened with Susan. Could you give us a thumbnail, possibly, on other actions that Bush has taken that might be redolent of this sort of moving against an individual who is obviously a peace activist and concerned about our country going to war against Iraq?
Yeah, pre-war, you mean? I can't because I think, you know, whatever actions are taken, a lot of times are covered up. Susan is exceptionally articulate, forceful, intelligent, and she had, you know, to exert great effort to get this known to the public. And I'm not aware of others. I mean, I think on a lighter scale, the most obvious example is any on-screen expert that was on before the war who questioned the war was gone quickly, okay? I mean, that's censorship. Any comments that were questioning the war were gone very quickly after the person would raise the questions. And, there's a complete press blackout on truth. The Times lied about weapons of mass destruction and put that on the front page day after day. The Washington Post, what's called the flagrant misrepresentation. The Washington Post did the same papers all over America did, you know. So I think even more sinister than going after an individual is the total information lockdown we've got.
Okay, we're going to break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more from Michael Collins, and soon Susan Lindauer herself.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
You are listening to Two If by C. This is Janet Phelan. My co-host is Dr. Rebecca Carley, and this is Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have Michael Collins with us. Michael, you were just making some statements about the media, and it seemed to be that you were suggesting that there seemed to be some behind-the-scenes sort of inhibition going on in terms of what was actually getting presented to us through the press. Could you elaborate?
Yes. Go ahead.
As a reporter, that's something that I have been very aware of. And I, the listening audience may know that I started off in mainstream media and am now actually so appalled at the behavior of our mainstream media. And I understand that some of this has been leaking into Susan's situation as well. The failure of the press to accurately report.
I was shocked at her hearing, at Susan's hearing on June 17th. Finally, after all these years, more than 4 years of Susan insisting on a competency hearing to challenge the notion that she's delusional, she got a two-part hearing. The first part was on June 17th, and it was for what's called lay witnesses, which means non-medical, non-psychological, you know, non-degreed people saying, yes, I know this person, they're credible, and so forth. And so the hearing went forward, and there were two great witnesses. One of them was one of the Fox News investigative magazines, and the other a professor of computer science. And the hearing went forward. It was very, well conducted. Her witnesses were credible. And the Associated Press ran a story in the New York Daily News that basically covered the hearings sort of on a superficial basis, but I mean they pointed out what happened. One of the things that happened was one of the witnesses confirmed that Susan had anticipated and predicted a 911 type of attack in New York City, maybe 300 yards from the courthouse. And the witness who described that was the professor of computer science, and he was entirely credible. Right. But the other witness established a connection between a long-term connection between Susan and the person that she reports was her intelligence contact, the key contact. So it was quite a hearing, and it was the first time she got one. Associated Press and the New York Daily News ran fairly decent short articles, but the New York Times ran an article that claimed that Susan, I think they said Susan had stuck her tongue out at the prosecutor or something ridiculous, you know, which had not happened. Mm-hmm. That's how he opened the story, and then the story went on to virtually mock the hearing. It was something written, you know, looked like you'd see it in The Onion. And I thought, why would they do this? You know, this is supposedly a reporter, and he's using sophomoric humor to mock a competency hearing where the major information came out. So I think, I don't subscribe to a lot of behind-the-scenes conspiracy theories. I think this is just the way these people operate. You know, this opposes the administration, the Times, the Post, some of the other major media properties, you know, aren't going to oppose the administration, so they go out and smear people who criticize them. You know, and that's how you keep your job, I guess.
Well, that's a very sad state of affairs, because most people still do get their news from the mainstream media. And if the mainstream media is pledged now to simply protect the powers that be, we're in serious trouble, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, yes, we are. Totally. But I think we've been in serious trouble since the 50s, really. So it's quite a system that's in place, and it works well, and not much gets out. Susan's the latest victim of this, but she's turning into a survivor, which I think that surprises a lot of people, that she's continuing to fight effectively.
Well, we'd like to bring on Susan and have her tell her own story. I would like to say, as a means of introducing this woman who has been so badly smeared, I understand that Susan Lindauer got her bachelor's at Smith College, which is Ivy League, went on to do graduate work at the London School of Economics, had worked as a congressional aide, as a reporter, and is now under attack by the government of the United States of America for her efforts at speaking the truth. So, Susan, are you with us?
Here.
Susan.
Janet?
Yeah.
I would like to thank you very, with all of my heart. Your audience deserves to know that you were one of the very first journalists to cover my story, and Michael Collins has been a tremendous support, but you were actually covering my story when I was in Carswell, and we're about to tell your listeners what that actually means. If I may just jump in, they say that truth is the first casualty of war. And that really has made me an enemy of state, because not because I am against America. I love this country. We are the best country in the world. I believe that I am a total patriot, and I believe that peace is patriotic. I believe that part of my patriotism entitles me to question the government and to hold the government accountable for its decisions, and to expect the government to rise to the level of values which are worthy of this country.
We're going to break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes with the Susan Lindauer story.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseed.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off, lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Good afternoon, America. Two If By C is back with your co-hosts, Janet Phelan and Dr. Rebecca Carley. And we have Susan Lindauer with us, freed, now free political prisoner, Susan Lindauer, who was held 11 months under the Bush administration for her brave acts of telling the truth in a time of universal deceit. Susan, why don't you begin sort of at the beginning of the timeline of your story and explain what happened to the listening audience?
I would be delighted to do that. My story is a little bit complicated because it covers so many years. At the very beginning in 1994, I was asked by the United States government to become what's known as an asset. Various members of the intelligence community came to me because of my work, my very strong work against sanctions, and my also very outspoken views against war and violence. And there's going to turn out to be this was a long-term relationship we had, and that there was a catalyst event which brought all this together, which we're going to save for trial. But they came to me and they asked me for help, and I established contacts with various Arab governments at the United Nations, and I never worked at an embassy. I was working as a congressional staffer, as a press secretary for Congressman Ron Wyden, and who is now senator from Oregon, also for Senator Carol Moseley Braun of Illinois. And I also later on worked as a journalist. But throughout this entire period, because of my anti-sanctions work and my anti-war work, which was very well established, the United States wanted to take advantage of that to build contacts with governments like Libya and Iraq, which were nations under sanctions, to try to persuade them to contribute anti-terrorism information. And so it's very important to understand that from the very first days, all of my work in peace was known, and everything that I did in regards to Libya and Iraq, Yemen, Egypt, Syria, Hezbollah, Malaysia, all of it was heavily supervised by the United States. I did not just go off to these embassies and just say, oh, here I am. They may have thought that, but I was actually being sent. The very important point. This becomes very significant because I had a long-term relationship with these people, with the Iraqi embassy and the Iraqi diplomats. I knew the ambassadors, several ambassadors, over a long period of time, and I knew the history of Iraqi pre-war intelligence at a very intimate level. I know what was really going on versus what you were told was going on.
Okay, so there was apparently there was a long-term relationship with the U.S. government and Susan Lindell with you in terms of your work attempting, apparently, the work might have worked towards derailing the possibility of a war before it happened. Is that a correct assumption?
That is absolutely a correct assumption. At the time that President Bush entered office, it was already known that the sanctions were failing in the international community. And I hated the sanctions. I was on record hating the sanctions. And so we were looking at what could be done to get the United States everything the United States could want at very specific levels so that the sanctions, so that the United States could emerge in a post-sanctions period with a victory, claiming a victory, but the sanctions could be released. And so... Even before we get into the war, we had into the pre-war planning phase, we had already put together an extensive package of very good things for the United States, and we had already begun work, my team had already begun work to get those things implemented and accepted by the Iraqis. For example, and we were doing very well. I did the preliminary talks. It is accurate to say that I did the preliminary talks with the Iraqis on the return of the weapons inspections. After the USS Cole attack in October of 2000, our team demanded to the Iraqis that the Iraqi government must allow an FBI task force to go into Baghdad to conduct terrorism investigations. We were already demanding financial records on terrorists. We wanted to know the movements of terrorists in their society, what they were planning, and we wanted to have the power of arrest. Now, this was very significant. This means that right from the beginning of the Bush administration, there was a tremendous opportunity that was already very well developed that would have gotten the United States everything we wanted without firing a shot. You didn't have to go to war to get anything, to get everything you wanted. All you had to do was say, well, we want that, we want this, we want that. The Iraqis, for example, were willing to make a commitment to purchase 1 million American-made automobiles from General Motors and Ford and any other American company for 10 years. Now, this is just one thing that we were working for. Imagine the thousands of jobs that would have been created, the hundreds of millions of dollars in revenues that would have been produced for our ailing car industry if we had chosen peace. And the politicians, knowing that I had done all of this stuff, they didn't want anybody to find out about it. They didn't know, and when I say that I did it, I mean my team did it. I did not just do this alone. Everything I did was supervised. Everything was controlled. They were telling me what they wanted, and I was getting it for them. But they were doing, our team was doing very good things that were totally legitimate. From the standpoint of American security and Middle East security, this was all good stuff.
So let's fast forward a little bit, and then let's fast forward to September 11th of 2001.
Yes. Well, let me tell you what happened in the months before September 11th. I think this story has never been told. Your listeners, if you Google my name, you will be able to find a story which shows that at the hearing, a witness testified. A very credible witness testified that I'm one of the people who warned about 9/11. In fact, in April or May of 2001, my CIA handler instructed me to tell the Iraqis specifically that if they heard of any, if they discovered any intelligence about airplane hijackings or airplane bombings, that the Iraqis had better give that in the smallest detail. If they had the slightest, tiniest little inkling of anything that was going on involving airplanes, hijackings, and bombings, then they had to tell us immediately, or my CIA handler told me that the United States would bomb Iraq back to the Stone Age. And I was instructed to pass that message on. Obviously, my CIA handler had some kind of intelligence because he was very aggressive, and it's one of the few times I've ever seen him really angry at me because I didn't want to pass that message on at first. And he said, Susan, don't you understand there's a reason why I'm doing this? I'm not just asking you to do this because I feel like it. There's something that's happening, and if the Iraqis have any information about it, we've got to know it. Okay, this is in April or May of 2001. So I told my friends to stay out of New York City because, you know, Richard and I then talked about a scenario that would involve the airplanes hitting the World Trade Center. We actually mapped out that scenario. And I guess what I would say to you is maybe because you don't know this world this intelligence community the way I do, it was not an accident that he suddenly said, you've got to tell them to give us the information. The CIA already had the information. You see? They already had it. And they needed more information. They needed to get this stuff. But they had an inkling that something was going on already. Now, in 2001, after 2001, after September 11th, I performed exactly as I had been doing for many years. I did the work in anti-terrorism. I did the 9/11 investigation involving the Iraqi diplomats because that's what I was committed to doing. I had signed on and promised you that from, back in 1994. Anytime anything was going on with regards to terrorism, I was the person who was going to get it. So the Iraqis responded that they had information on financial records of Al-Qaeda. They had information on the Oklahoma City bombing, and that the same people who were involved in 9/11 had previously been involved with the Oklahoma City bombing and the first attack on the World Trade Center. Well, now we do know that this is true. But, so I'm bringing this stuff to the government thinking that I'm doing this really great thing because, of course, if you're anti-terrorism, then you want to get this information, right?
Right.
Except our government, our great leadership under President George Bush, didn't want this information coming out. He didn't. He wanted to. He was already so fixated on going to war that he refused to accept financial records on al-Qaeda figures that might have helped us close down bank accounts. He refused to accept information showing a Middle Eastern connection to the Oklahoma City bombing and the first attack on the World Trade Center.
When you say he refused to accept, Susan, when you say he refused to accept, what do you mean by that?
Well, we had the information.
Uh-huh.
The Iraqis were willing to give us the information, and they wanted to give it to the FBI. So I brought this information back to the Americans, and I said, you know, the Iraqis are willing to give this to you, and they're willing to give it to the FBI. Well, George Bush used to let the FBI go get it.
Interesting.
Did you see?
So we
have a leadership that is pretending to fight a war on terrorism, which is actually stumbling and fumbling and making a lot of mistakes and missing out on a lot of opportunities that would never have necessitated a war in Iraq or a war, well, maybe a war in Afghanistan, I don't know. But you didn't have to go do a lot of the things that you did in order to get much greater results than you have actually achieved.
So what you're
and knowing
stating here,
that makes me a threat.
So what you're stating here is that information was offered to the government that the government didn't want, that had the government taken, had the Bush administration accepted and reviewed this information, might have gone contrary to the plans to go to war.
Exactly. And it would have accomplished all of the results that a war on terrorism essentially wishes to achieve, which is to shut down the terrorist networks because you choke off their finances, and you can zero in on the ringleaders who are actually involved in coordinating all the attacks, and you can arrest those people very quickly and very not they'd probably be hiding in Pakistan, but you would be able to identify them much more easily, much more speedily, without all the collateral damage of you know, destroying civilian populations and homes and houses and hospitals and schools. You never needed to invade Iraq. If you were serious,
you did your job so well that you garnered information and contacts which could have derailed the war. And what happened? Let's go forward a little bit in time. You were arrested on, I believe, March 11th, 2004.
Yes.
And what happened to initiate that arrest?
Very important question. In February of 2004, President Bush appointed the brand new Presidential Commission on Iraqi Pre-War Intelligence. As soon as I heard about this commission, I tried to contact the office of Senator John McCain, and I spoke to the staff of Senator Trent Lott, and I asked them to please let me testify in front of Congress, even in a closed-door session, just so that I could tell them the truth of what really happened. Apparently, within 48 or 72 hours of my doing that, in a very brief time span, my file was turned over to a grand jury in New York, except that the United States Justice Department forgot to mention that all of the work that I had been doing, that they were indicting me for doing, was supervised by the United States and was done at the request of the United States. Well, that is a huge difference. That's a huge difference. Telling a grand jury, oh, this woman's been off dealing with Iraqi diplomats and saying, we asked this woman to deal with Iraqi diplomats. And by the way, she's one of the people who warned about an attack before 9/11. And she's one of the people who was investigating. She was the one doing the work pulling information out of Iraq after 9/11. And I'm accused of Janet of taking a trip to Baghdad in March of 2002. I was arrested 2 years later for this trip. Now notice that, first of all, we will be able to prove that the United States government knew that I was traveling to Baghdad. They absolutely knew it. And then they don't even arrest me for 2 years after that. Do you see? I mean, it's just, it's not like I came back from Baghdad and they immediately arrested me. They waited 2 years to do it.
Until it was useful for them.
Until it was necessary for them, because they had to find a way to shut me up. Because, I mean, imagine if you have all these, imagine if the Republican population, the Republican voters, understood that the Bush White House had made a huge mess of the 9/11 investigation.
We're going to break right now. We're going to break, and we will be back in a few minutes with Susan Lindauer.
Sorry.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
You are listening to Two If By C. I'm Janet Phelan. Co-host is Dr. Rebecca Carley. And we have Susan Lindauer on the air. You got interrupted by a break, and you were telling us the story of why you were arrested and some subsequent charges that were information where you had gone to Baghdad as a employee of the U.S. government, and this was used against you in the indictment. So please proceed.
Okay. Let me just say that the actions that I have been indicted for are fairly silly. I am accused of taking a trip to Baghdad in March of 2002. It turns out, which we will be able to prove in court, that the United States government was fully aware of my trip. I categorically deny taking the trip without telling anybody that I was going. This is not a rogue action. I was acting entirely in good faith, that I was obeying the instructions that I had received, which to this day I have to say, I believe that the instructions were given to me in good faith. I do not believe that anybody deliberately tried to screw the United States government or screw me. I think that they did what they thought they were supposed to do, and that everybody thought that it was all running just fine. It is worth noting that George Bush and Dick Cheney have viciously attacked the intelligence community for not falling in line into war, and they have scapegoated the agencies, not only myself, but everybody who had the guts to say this will be a mistake. Don't do it. There are options. There are solutions. You don't have to fight this war. You can get everything you want without firing a shot.
And so what you're saying essentially is that there are basically factions within the intelligence community who were not supporting the effort to go to war.
Exactly.
And you were in one of those factions.
And I was in one of those factions.
Okay.
And it's also worth noting that about 6 months ago, the Senate Intelligence Committee, I believe it was, did an investigation of the intelligence from January 2003 specifically, which is my intelligence, mind you. And the Senate Intelligence Committee issued a report saying that the intelligence from January 2003 specifically was the best intelligence in the pre-war period. That was the intelligence that originated. I'm not the only person. I don't want to say that I was the only person working on this, but considering that I'm the only one who's under indictment, it's worth noting that my intelligence has been praised.
You had said a few minutes ago that they weren't trying to screw you by sending you over there. Well, it looks like
CIA handler did not intend to screw me when he sent me. He was not trying to set me up for a fall. He did not do anything that he thought was bad. He thought that they had a plan that was legitimate in 2001 and March of 2002.
And then they threw you to the wolves. We're going to break again. We're going to break. It's the top of the hour, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
St. Nicholas, even more ridiculous, a tooth fairy. From there we're forced to recite the pledge, Hail Mary. One nation under God, why us? Don't question, son, you're burning hell. Pay attention to the lies that we're told to tell. Teacher teaches us Columbus was a hero. He stole land, he stole lives of so-called Indians. From the Tainos to the Africans. Respect Thomas Jefferson? He molested Sally Hemings. And now they say Reagan was a great man. The godfather of crack babies? Denier of the AIDS plague? I ran fast as I could to the library to find out they trace the books I read.
Gold has been